I'm Tom Evans, and a big Zone Show welcome to Ian Broom, author and the host of the Right for Your Life podcast. Hi, Ian.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Great to actually reciprocate, because I was on that said podcast, must be a year or two back now.
Indeed.
Yeah, so I've just read A for Angelica, and I was really, really drawn into the world you created. It seemed so real and actually so somewhat dark and comedic and even farcical. But I'm kind of puzzled, though, that the themes you explore seem to require real-world knowledge I would only expect from someone twice your age. Where does that depth of experience come from?
Well, that's true. And one of the questions that I've been asked most, actually, when I've been promoting the book is, why did you decide to? So I'm 32. I started writing the book when I was, 23, 24.
Wow.
And
well, see, that makes it even more remarkable.
I know. And so everyone says, why did you choose to write the book as a 50-year-old or a 52-year-old or whatever Gordon Kingdom is, the narrator? And there's a couple of answers. First of all, it just made sense. And when I started writing, he wasn't necessarily that old. I don't think I really knew how old he was. So the book, I didn't have the entire book completely and utterly planned out and scripted almost before I began writing. So there's an element of him becoming that age organically, I guess.
That makes sense.
But also, and this is kind of something that I suspect writers don't talk about often, but there are certain pragmatics. And once you've written, say, 50, 60,000 words of prose, there are lots of things that need to add up, like dates and ages of characters and when certain events happened, when things happened in the backstory and all that kind of thing. And having done all that maths and kind of made sure that it all worked together and all the dates matched, all that kind of thing, it turned out he was around that age. And also, I guess my parents are older than that, but they're kind of early 60s now. But mid 60s now. I'm being a bit too kind on them there. And I guess, you know, the novel's a lot about where I come from and that kind of thing. So it was kind of watching others rather than it being my own personal experience.
Gotcha. And how much of it then is real and experienced, and how much of it is imagined?
Most of it, or I would say 80-90% of it, is imagined. There are a couple of scenes in the novel which are kind of retellings of things that have happened to me, but those scenes aren't particularly major parts of the book. So there is a scene sort of early on of Gordon is waiting in the waiting room of the doctor's surgery, and the doctor leaves the intercom system on. So they use an intercom that plays out when they want a patient to come in next. They say, you know, Trevor Jones next, please, and Trevor Jones we'll go into the doctor's surgery and the doctor will turn off the intercom. That's fine. And when I was growing up, this happened and the doctor forgot to turn the intercom off. So we heard the first 30 or 40 seconds of this this kind of discussion, which is obviously meant to be personal. So there's kind of that scene was something that happened to me, and I adapted it and kind of tried to add an element of humour into it. But the crux of the novel, which is about, you know, Gordon Kingdon, the narrator, he's looking after his wife who's had a series of strokes and he doesn't know how to cope with it. And the novel is about the way he kind of unravels mentally as she unravels physically. And that's entirely fiction. That's not happened to me personally. I've not had anyone in my family who's had a stroke. So it was almost entirely imagined.
Oh, well, good news that that hasn't happened in your family.
Yeah.
Long may it continue like that. So when, obviously, this book must have taken the best part of 7 or 8 years to write. When you're in that writing process, when you're actually doing the job of writing, how do you get into that creative zone?
Well, this has changed over time. So, and I think I've been through a number of zones, and I feel like I'm about to enter a new zone. I don't know whether there's a name for it. But initially, I began writing the novel when I was part of Sheffield Hallam's MA writing course. So I was in an environment with lots of other writers, all of whom were at a similar sort of level and had real ambitions to be published authors. And when you're in that kind of community, that kind of writing environment, it's much easier to get into the zone, because you know that you have people asking for work, for example. You know that people are going to be reading what you write, and you know that, for example, you need to have something done by next week or next Tuesday because you have a seminar and you need to show your work. So getting into the zone isn't that hard because there is a kind of, there's a deadline, basically, and there is a community of people expecting it. Once that process was through, I did the first, on the MA, you do around, I think it's 10,000 words, and then you're kind of left to your own devices for up to 5 years to get it finished and get to a master's level. And so that was all done on my own, and it was much more difficult to get into the zone. But what happened was I found myself naturally, and it felt like a very physical thing, and I know that you're the expert, so you can perhaps tell me whether I'm making this up or not, but it always felt like a very physical thing where I would perhaps struggle for the words like most writers, and then almost silently, almost without me really realizing it, half an hour would have passed and I would have found that at some point something had clicked and I was entirely focused on the writing and absolutely nothing else, no distractions, nothing could have interrupted me, and I was entirely focused. I was probably dribbling or something on my keyboard. I was just so into it.
The dribbling zone, that sounds like a new one that I might need to write about.
Indeed.
And so when did you have moments where you got blocked, and how would you deal with getting through the creative blocks?
I did have moments when I got blocked, and that was where I had to stop this kind of carefree attitude, I will just write and see how the story goes. There came a point, when it's something as long as a novel, there comes a point where you really do have to get some structure and you have to get some direction. So I tried kind of this, like I say, more of a kind of sit down and write and the story will come. And I got to a point when that it wasn't really happening anymore because I was really fretting about what it was that I needed to do. I realized that this needed structure, and so I had to, I guess, perhaps find a different zone. I had to try and think less about the writing and more about the concept and the idea and the characters and how they would work together rather than the actual words on the page.
Yeah, it's interesting because I love that you've got some great evocative chapter titles like First Strike and Oracle and Quarantine and Umbridge, a word I really like for some strange reason. But also I noticed, I couldn't help but notice that the chapters were in alphabetical order. So where in the process of crafting the novel did this architecture appear?
Well, the architecture actually changed and changed significantly. So the reason the chapters are alphabetical, is because Gordon keeps notes. So he keeps notes and he keeps a series of files. This is how he copes with the situation. He writes everything down. So it was to mirror that, that kind of the structure of the novel kind of mirrored the structure of Gordon's kind of note-taking. So that was the A to Z idea.
Did that come first then? Or
it did.
Yeah,
it did. So initially I'd got the first draft. In fact, the draft that I submitted and got an agent with was 26 chapters, A to Z. And a lot of the titles, and I think probably all of the ones you just listed, didn't exist. But when my agent took me on, she said, are you open to doing a bit of work on the novel? And I said, of course, because I was delighted to even be in that position. And the novel went from 26 chapters to 42. And that was quite a significant change of plan. And I actually suggested getting rid of the chapter titles completely. And it was because I felt like at that point, I felt like I had basically imposed this structure, this this kind of way of doing things, this order that things had to be on myself in order to be creative. I felt like it was helping. And then it got to a point where actually I'd made the novel too short. I'd made some chapters a bit clunky simply because I was trying to fit into this certain structure and it wasn't working. So I had to change it.
Well, it worked for me because I found that I read a B and I had to read a C and a D, and it had that sort of, that Dan Brown effect where it's like a guilty pleasure and you kept, I just wonder what happens next.
Well, that's good because I mean, that's fantastic to hear, because with a literary novel, especially one where the subject matter is dark in places. I mean, I hope that there is some humour in there, but, you know, the subject matter is dark. So, and a few people have said this, that it was, I don't think I could perhaps call it a page turner in the Dan Brown sense, but certainly that people were wanting to know what was next. And that's quite difficult to do when you're not, you know, writing a thriller or, there are no guns, for example.
and talking of what's next for you? You're going to write a book with beef or something else?
No, but it is interesting how many people have asked if there are going to be a sequel. I mean, the ending is, I guess, a little vague and kind of open to interpretation. But still, people crave sequels these days, don't they? People want to hear more from the same characters, and a lot of people have asked that. But sadly, that's it for the world of A.S. Rangelica. But I am working on a new novel at the moment. I do have some non-fiction as well, kind of 20-odd thousand words that are just sat there. I'm deciding whether I should do anything with them or not. But yeah, so I'm working on a new novel at the moment.
Oh, well, I hope it goes well for you, because yeah, that was a great debut novel. Really, really enjoyed it. And for me, it seemed to be from the pen of somebody that's written more than that and had much more life experience than you had. Well, certainly at 23, for certain. So where can people find out about you and your work and get your book?
You can find out about me on my website. That's ianbroome.com. And you spell my name in a slightly unusual way. It's IAINBROOME. .com and I have a blog on there. I have the podcast which you mentioned, so lots of stuff for readers and writers, and you'll also find a page which is all about the novel too.
Wonderful. Well, it's A for awesome as far as I'm concerned. Thank you, Ian.
Thank you.
To learn more about getting in the zone, visit thezoneshow.com.